recordings. Let's go, ladies and gentlemen, to Phoenix for the Metal Report with Rob Wessel. Good evening, Rob.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. Always it's a pleasure to be with you and your listeners tonight. Gold closed today at $1031.96 at a price of $378.10. It's off 80 cents on the day. Silver closed at $4.79, down 2 cents. Platinum closed at $384, down $1.40. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at 6,029, up 36.1 points. Some of the things I wanted to cover tonight is there was an interesting article in the Wall Street Journal this morning about the Mexican peso has recently hit its lowest level since December of 1994. I'm beginning to be concerned at how much are we going to have to pay again for this drop. Will we have to continue financing Mexico's poorly managed country or in finances as well as our own, the way things are going? Another concern that hit the news wires this morning are the feds are allowing our national banking system to increase their activities of how to gain funds. One of the...
What does that mean, Rob?
Well, what they've actually done is they've stepped in now and they are going to allow the banks to expand their securities businesses. They've only allowed them since the inception of the Glass-Steagall banking law in 1933 to carry a maximum of 10% of their own proportion of their revenue can come from securities-related activities. Now the Fed's plan is proposing that they expand that to a minimum of 25%, which, again, for any of us that are well aware of stock portfolios and things in our own lives, they're actually increasing their risks that much more.
Which means they're increasing the risk of their depositors.
Exactly. The Fed is also reducing fees of nation banks that pay for data processing. I'm sure your listeners are well aware whenever a wire transfer or any type of transfers are done, the Fed monitors and watchdogs that and turns around and charges the local banks a fee for doing all that. For people out there that are still not aware of just how much the Federal Reserve does control our banking system, it's amazing to see this. Some of these notes across the wires this morning that the changes will take effect January 2nd. They will include a 10% reduction in the basic fee for electronic fund transfers, a 50% reduction in the surcharge levied on automatic clearinghouse transactions. Direct deposits from paychecks will be received later on in that day, will receive a 25% reduction in their reporting fee. The list goes on and on and on, and it's amazing the local control in our banks that the Federal Reserve has. Some of the other notes across the wires, again, as we all know, oil prices are still on the increase. They have been lagging off a little within the last week. I've been trying to do some research as to what some of these problems are. Obviously, there's been some low stockpiles that have been kept, and it's sort of whipsawed now. As always, too, every fall, when the weather starts to cool off, we see heating and oil prices going up.
Oh, of course. They have to rip off the people in the cold areas that depend upon that fuel for heating.
Just like in June, when vacations are at their highest, gasoline goes up.
Sure.
Markedly every year. But one of the largest companies, Texaco, and some other companies are talking about merging with a Saudi Arabian company, and there's going to be some other mergers come out in the oncoming weeks to try to increase their bottom line. There is a company right now that is going into waters approximately 200 to 300 miles deep off the southern coast of Mexico to bring up oil. There are companies moving into Russia and the Soviet Union bringing up, again, oil, which is getting very, very costly to do. Obviously, those are very non-productive areas. Everything has to be moved in to produce the oil there. And it's a very expensive proposition. As always, I have noticed in the years that, it used to always be said that gold is a barometer for inflation. Well, obviously, with the type of economy we live in, where so much of it is built around oil, plastics, and products or byproducts of oil, keep your eye on prices of oil. As oil increases, inflation will increase, and it's going to cost you your living expenses down the road. Last Tuesday, the government had a very large bond auction, and for the first time in 7 years, foreign nations did not show up for the auction. It was getting a little bit desperate. They had an auction later on again in the afternoon of that following Friday, last Friday, and that's when foreigners started moving and buy up small portions of bonds again. But the bond market obviously noticed that it was not too well advertised, that countries are getting starting to show a little lack of confidence in buying our bonds. It was a very surprising feature to notice that there were literally no foreign nations at all that made bids on bonds.
That is very interesting.
We also are getting reports of the new $50 bill, which will be out in the summer. Again, the continuing redesign of our currency. From what I understand, it's supposed to have the same security features as the $100 bill.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we were all originally told, well, the only reason why they're touching the $100 bill is because of counterfeits. Again, this is just one note along the lines that the $100 bill must not have been counterfeited that much if they have to redesign everything for us. The $2 bill was introduced this month. From what I understand, you can get it from banks. I have not seen it out in public yet. But from what I understand, the new $2 bill has been reintroduced again.
They also said that when they introduced the new money that they were not going to recall the old money, and that's a lie. Very simply, the way they do it is not by making a public announcement that you have to bring your money in and change it for the new. It's just very simple. When the old $100 bills cycle through the bank, they're just culled out of circulation and sent back to the Federal Reserve and then destroyed. And the new $100 bills are thus introduced, and it won't be very long until you'll never see an old $100 bill again.
Mm-hmm. And it's always very easy for us to be lulled into a sense of false security, and when things are done very slowly,
sure,
we get used to it and adjust to it very quickly, and before we know it, we've got a problem.
And they'll do just like they did with the silver certificates, that someday in the not-too-far-off future, they will just simply announce that the old $100 bills are no longer legal tender.
Mm-hmm.
Without ever having made a public recall, it's all being done anyway.
Uh-huh, exactly. And it's being done in a way that we can accept it over a period of time.
Yes.
The IRS announced last Friday that they will allow the General Accounting Office, or Congress's watchdog supposedly, to seek a plan to eliminate tax returns for in excess of millions of taxpayers. What it amounts to is a taxpayer who fills out the average returns, a 1040 EA, and I believe the other Schedule 4 is 1040A, which is, for most of us out there, just a very typical short return tax form. What they will do is, and I love this because they're saying that it won't cause any increased employment at IRS, but the IRS will actually be filling out your tax returns now, is what this plan will bring about. They will complete your returns. They will mail it to you. You will have to sign it and agree that it is correct or verify that it is incorrect and send it back.
That amazes me. In a tax system that doesn't apply to citizens of the states, people are filling out 1040 forms and all their A, B, it doesn't matter. 1040, is, and it says right in the instructions for the 1040 that it's for non-resident aliens. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
And they're paying a tax that nowhere in the law or in the tax code or in the Code of Federal Regulations or in the United States Code, are citizens of states liable to file and pay this tax?
Uh-huh. They feel that this will do away with at least 51 million tax returns. That's 51 million people affected by this.
Well, what it's going to do is going to automatically ensure that a lot of people who were not filling them out and paying their tax is going to be done for them. And it's also going to be done in a manner that's extremely intimidating to anyone. If the IRS sends you a thing that says you owe so much tax, how many people out there do you think have the guts to challenge them on that?
Very few. I talk to people. people around the country every day, and they, and particularly married couples that have gone through tax problems, the IRS has a tremendous way of, they don't call the male at home or at work. They call the female that's at home.
Sure.
The children, taking care of the house.
They threaten her security.
Intimidate her, and
yeah.
her feels so insecure and so scared of what they can do.
Yeah.
I talked to a couple last week that the two IRS agents actually came and forced their way. Once the housewife had opened up the door, forced their way in, made her sit down while they walked around the house, which was totally illegal. Just intimidated and scared this woman to death.
Gestapo. That's Hitler's tactics. That is what we used to hear come out of the Soviet Union. And that's happening now in America.
Mm-hmm. They'd had some tough times on medical bills.
Yeah.
At that point, it was a decision to pay the medical bills and take care of two sick children or pay taxes. They chose to feed and take care of their sick children. And what they ended up doing is taking a home mortgage out, or a second mortgage out on their home, wiping out the equity, the little equity that they had in their home, for about $12,000, so they could pay the IRS immediately.
Pay the tribute to the conqueror. That's really what it's all about. Yeah, that's a real horror story, and this is Halloween. That's a fitting story to tell tonight. They don't have the right to force their way in anyone's home. Walk around and do anything in anyone's home. It's gone way out of hand. I mean, when we talk about Nazi jackbooted thugs, we're really talking about what has become the state police in all of its various forms and names, what we call the alphabet soup, the FBI, the CIA, the IRS, the you name it. These are scary times, Rob. And I have had people who were children or teenagers growing up in the 1930s in Nazi Germany. And they fled Nazi Germany to get away from that horror and came to this country. Now they're calling me in terror, telling me that what they are seeing happening in this country today is exactly what they saw happen during Hitler's rise to power and the takeover of Germany by the Nazi Party. And they are terrified, literally terrified. They want me to give them an answer. And nobody wants to hear the answer that I have to give. But anyway.
Live through this. It amazes me the next generation down that I talk to frequently throughout the day don't even believe their parents, have no concept of this. And believe that everything is wonderful and will continue to be that way. And I hope and encourage the watchtower people out there that are up on the fence posts or up on the gates yelling messages like that out, because we need to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to understand that we are almost falling historically in line with so many other nations.
Yes. But you know, Rob, most Americans, believe it or not, it's been my experience watching them when they are challenged by authority that is acting unlawful or under the color of law or just flat unconstitutionally and in a criminal manner, are cowards. They will not do what they need to do. They will not challenge. They will not take these people to court. They don't know anything about the law, don't want to know anything about the law. They think it's beyond their capacity to learn it when it's really very simple. And I'll give you an example. Just a few days ago, one of the local businessmen here just barreled up the hill here to my house to inform us, and he was terrified, to inform us that the Internal Revenue Service had called him about some checks that we had written to his business. And he was literally terrified. He wanted to know what to do. I asked him, I said, did they have a warrant? He said, no. I said, did they have a subpoena? He said, no. I said, what is your problem? You know, if you choose to cooperate with them and give them what they want, then you're contributing to the downfall of our legal system. And you are you're turning on a neighbor. So, you know, what you should do is go back and say you want their demands in writing, signed by a signature, with a signature, of the person making the demands. And if they don't give you that in writing, then you don't even have to talk to them anymore. If they do give it to you in writing, then write back and ask them if they have a warrant. If they don't have a warrant, you don't have to give them anything. You don't have to talk to them. You don't have to do anything. But people are so afraid of these scum is what they are. They're traitors destroying this country. And he was amazed that I wasn't afraid. You see, they were asking about checks that I wrote. They weren't even asking about him. And he was terrified, and I wasn't. And that is extremely telling. It's revealing the true nature of not just him, but most American people react in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
Who is back from trick-or-treating? Wow. Let me see what you've got here.
Our Japanese trading partners, they are still experiencing a very shaky economic recovery. They're still calling it, but again, in some of the news wires in the last week, a lot of things about their financial system has rocked their stock market there. Another, it's called Nichii Finance, has once again left a bad debt of $8.8 billion to various graft and trading means and everything. Now, this is about the seventh major finance, bank, if you want to call it that, that has literally collapsed in Japan in the last year. Their stock market, again, keep in mind, since 1989, has gone through over a 50% correction. A lot of people are very concerned that we, through their banking industry, becoming, now they followed, 5 to 7 years ago, they started the massive bank, conglomeration, or again, buyouts that we're experiencing right now. And we've been following within just the last 4 to 5 years in this country their same leading of trying to get it down to just 7 to 8 major banks across the country with probably fewer than 120 overall banks that are separately held across this country is sort of the end result of what it looks like we're going to end up with.
I think the goal is to eventually have one airlines, one bank, one car manufacturer, et cetera, et cetera.
Again, what way to have complete control?
Sure. Well, one of the biggest complaints of the elite is the competition. They don't believe in it.
The concern or risk right now is that this wave of bankruptcies might undermine their stock market more, which in turn, and we've all seen this in our own history, leads to further bankruptcies and further declines in the stock market.
Well, that's been increasing every year. I mean, every year has been a record-breaking number of bankruptcies in this country anyway. And I don't really think they're worried about the stock market. Whenever it's endangered, they... did you have to sneeze in? That's okay. She's trying so hard not to make any noise. And... I don't think they're worried about it at all. When it is threatened, they just pump more money into it. It's so overinflated now. I think they're just waiting to pull the plug. And any good reason in the near future, they'll probably take it and just let all of it drain. So I really don't buy that they're scared of the threat to the stock market. I don't believe that at all. I know that that's what they're touting, and I know that that's a lot of people do believe it, so that has to be taken into consideration.
When you were talking earlier about sort of the numbness of the state of our minds these days, one of the quotes that I copied this week that amazed me was the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond, Virginia, says, inflation remains too high, even if economic growth is slowing at this point. I am convinced, and what worries me is some people have reached the conclusion that inflation is no longer a serious problem. And I thought, here's a man that is really part of the reason that we have inflation, and yet he's yelling at the same time, wake up, we have a problem. Inflation is in our midst. And it is a serious risk, and we have to deal with it. But yet, at the same time, he's going to be quenched because we realize that the majority of the rulership that concerns the Federal Reserve will probably see him without a job in the oncoming year, I would think.
Well, I don't know. It may have been he may have been asked to make a statement like that, to make the people think that the bankers really care about that kind of thing when they're the ones who create the inflation. Inflation is nothing more than printing and putting worthless paper money into circulation without anything to back it up. The more money that they loan, the more credit that they give, the more money that they put into circulation, the more inflation. And that's all done by bankers. That's all done by him. That's not done by us. What? Even if we wake up, what can we do about it?
There has been more pronounced talk about Medicare, too, and its funding being bankrupt by the year 2001 this week. Last year, they had the Medicare Trust Fund that pays hospital bills for the elderly in this country had a negative loss of $4.2 billion. They expect the deficit to loom by as much as $128 billion just before the election this year. They are predicting an $8.2 billion loss overall this year so far. They're predicted to lose next year as much as $13 billion, $22 billion by 1998. They feel that this is pretty much the course that has been set, and it will be completely insolvent by the year 2001, says the director, Robert Reichauer, the director of the Congressional Budget Office. Again, if we've been lulled into thinking that the government's going to take care of us forever, I hope we're doing something to wake ourselves.
Well, that's the ultimate goal, is to get everybody dependent on government and bring in their world socialism, and then they'll have total control over this dependent mass of people. And it'll all be artificial. That's why they want to go to a cashless money system, so that there be no accounting of the real state of the economy, and they can take care of anything they want just by creating money out of thin air. And that's their ultimate goal. They make no secret of that.
That would be one of the final controls that will probably bring everything down. Other two misconceptions I've heard a lot within the last couple weeks, and a lot of people calling in here have been bringing it up. Obviously, one of these is from a person we all know and are hearing a lot on TV lately, who's stating to us that we are better off now than we were 4 years ago.
You wouldn't be talking about Billary, would you?
I'll tell you, I've talked to a lot of people in the last 3 and 4 weeks that are telling me they are not one bit better off now than they were 14 years ago. Particularly housewives have a wonderful feel for the economy when they come back from the grocery store and they have 3 less bags of groceries for the same amount of money that they had just 6 to 9 months ago. They see prices daily, how they're changing. Business inventories this week alone are at a 14-year high. We have over $1 trillion worth of product out there across our country sitting in inventory right now. Unemployment again last week is up and has been week after week after week this year. I find it hard to believe in my own mind.
Wait a minute, what about these 10 million jobs that Clinton keeps talking about?
I don't see them in my neighborhood.
I don't see them here either.
Every person I talk to around this country and throughout the world are still seeing, especially in this country, the downsizing of corporate America. We are still seeing businesses, and every day it's in the paper now with the exposing of all these sweatshops, but we're still seeing hundreds of our jobs, if not thousands of them, go abroad. Thousands of them go down to Mexico. The other thing I've noticed that has me concerned is the constant advertising of stay in this for the long term. If your investments are in the stock market, don't worry about minor corrections in between now and retirement, because you're in it for the long term. If the market does go down, you'll recoup your losses over a period of time. Keep in mind, especially for your viewers out there, that the ones that advertise these ploys and these full-page ads in the local newspapers, again, are the large commercial accounts of the mutual funds that you're investing into. When, a broker, for the most part, refers you to a certain stock, chances are he's selling that stock because the largest industrial account they have for that firm can be, for example, Alcoa Aluminum, GM or General Motors, IBM. Don't think for a minute that they don't have the type of clout with that firm when they're investing hundreds of millions of dollars, sometimes well into the billions, to demand that that firm pushes their stock as well. So please bear in mind that, again, even in 1929 through 1935, when we saw the depression in this country, the average person in stocks at that time during that so-called correction in the stock market took until 1954 just to break even. Most of us today do not have 30 years to hope that our investments get to the point where now we're at break even and maybe now I can pull my investments out. So be very careful. The people in the correction that suffered through 1987, the Black Tuesday they called it, which again is being considered as a just a correction, not really a collapse in the market, took 3 to 6 years to get back to a point of where they were at break even. So I guess what I'd like to finish up with that comment is don't be fooled, but be cautious.
Yes, and don't ever make an investment in a stock because your stockbroker or the brokerage firm recommends it. That's not smart.
The famous or infamous, I should say, Vinnick, who was handling the Magellan Fund for Fidelity Mutual, we all read about. He was suggesting pull out of stocks, have a larger cash position. In other words, sit on the sidelines because cash is not trash at that point. And he was also recommending buying bonds and getting a bit more conservative, was actually fired from Fidelity because a firm like that cannot make money protecting people's money.
That's correct.
Hedge funds don't make the type of profits that stock funds do.
Mm-hmm.
They're simply for hedging against loss, for protection.
They only make money, in fact, when you buy or sell stocks. And they want to encourage you to buy or sell as often as possible because that's where their money comes from.
Then again, I was in the paper yesterday that he's raised over $800 million to start a hedge fund. He had no problems building up a group of investors, $2 million apiece, minimum investment, that are now hedging against a market crash is what their concern is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his sole concern right now, is building up a hedge fund to protect your other investments. It shows where the market is and where their intentions are when they have to fire people that are out for the concerns of their own clients. That's about it for tonight, Mr. Cooper.
Well, thank you very much, Rob. And again, I want to apologize for last Thursday. Folks, I forgot to tell Rob that I wasn't going to be here last Thursday, and then it was going to be a rerun. And so he spent 30 minutes dialing the phone trying to connect to give you the medal report. And I felt so bad when I heard that. And again, please accept my sincere apologies, and we'll see you next Thursday night.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Good night.
Good night.
520-333-4578 is the number should you desire to call in tonight anytime during this broadcast. But hang on, folks. In just a few minutes, we're going to hear Pooh's trick-or-treat report. Don't go away. It's going to be interesting. Thank you.
Welcome to the After Meta Report Halloween version of the Hour of the Time.
Pooh, welcome to the Hour of the Time once again.
Well,
how was trick or treat?
Well, I went to a lot of houses.
Who all went with you?
Ethan and Kathy, my neighbor down the hill, they came with me for 1 hour, and we went to get some candy with our stuff, and we got some candy, and then after that, Mommy had to draw Ethan and Kathy to their house, and then me and Mom went trick-or-treating again, and then...
What happened to Allison?
Oh, Allison was there.
My goodness, you forgot about the little fella. How did she like it?
Yeah.
Did you see any spooky houses?
Oh, yes, I have to tell you this one.
Oh, boy.
This one. We went with these children. I don't remember if Ethan or Cassie was with me. But we went to this house, and then all of a sudden... This ghost was rocking his chair, and then all of a sudden, he just said, "Rawr!" I think, but it scared everybody, and they screamed like this.
I bet it did. Right, there's somebody on the phone. Let's see who's on the phone.
All right.
You want to do the honors?
Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, good evening. Thank you. Well, did you hear, Bill?
Yes, I'm here.
Did you hear what's going on in Houston?
Yes, I know what's going on in Houston. Same thing's been going on in every other city, but I just get tired of talking about it.
don't blame you.
I understand one of their helicopters crashed.
Well, isn't that too bad?
Well, it's too bad if somebody got hurt, but it's not too bad if they didn't. And if they were pointing their guns and shooting at somebody and somebody shot them down, then they deserved it. That's the way I look at it.
Wondering if that might be the case.
I don't know. You know, none of it has appeared on any of the news networks, the national news networks. It's just
sure.
Local story in Houston. That's it.
Strictly Houston, yeah. My brother lives down there, so he knew about it, but
yeah.
I had to call him up to see if he knew about it. Yeah, I gotta confess, I wrote you a nasty letter this last week. So rather than write you a letter apologizing, I figured I'd just call you.
What'd you write a nasty letter about?
Not getting my book. But then the next day it came in the mail.
See? You lost faith.
Huh?
You lost faith.
And it seemed like such a long time since I ordered the darn thing. And I knew it was gonna be because it hadn't gone to the printer. Excellent book, by the way.
Good. What'd you like about it?
Huh?
What'd you like about it?
Well, it taught me some things I didn't know, and I thought I knew a lot about the damn, the business in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get through the whole thing yet. Excellent book, though. I'd advise people to get a hold of it quick. How many of those did you have published?
We published 5,000 softcover and 500 hardcover.
Yeah,
extremely expensive. If we could have published 50,000, then we probably could have had a reasonable price. But no way.
Well, do you think you're going to end up having another printing of it?
Not unless people buy books.
How are they doing? Well, I got your. You know what? What made me think of writing that letter was the fact that I got in the mail an advertisement for a lot of your stuff and those books.
That's because you sent That's
the one I ordered the first time yet.
That's because you sent for an info pack. We don't just send info packs, and we don't send them unless you request them.
No, all I asked for was a book.
And you get, when you do that, you automatically... are placed on order, but we don't send an info pack unless you ask for one. We never do.
Well, info pack, all I got was like advertisements for more stuff to buy.
Let me say this again. We never send those information packages out unless you write and request it.
Well, maybe I did with the...
I can guarantee you you did, because we don't have the money to waste doing that if people don't ask for them.
Yeah.
So you got it because you asked for it, and now you're complaining because you got it.
No, I'm not complaining. I just wanted to apologize for the nasty letter. Well, it was not quite a you bum letter, but it was a...
The nasty letter was complaining because you got the info pack and you hadn't had your book yet.
Yeah, because I guess that's what it amounts to.
Yeah, see, you guys are fickle, aren't you?
I'm not fickle at all. Hey, hey, by the way, do you see the way that bombing and not bombing, but the shoot down of the airplane? It's coming along. It ain't coming along at all. They can't find out what happened.
Well, they know what happened, and so do we. We already told you what happened. It was a missile. No doubt about it.
Huh? I'll tell you something else about what happened here.
Well, I got to let you go. I got to get back to Pooh and Halloween here.
Okay, go ahead. Bye.
Thanks for calling. Well, Pooh, let's get back to Halloween here.
All right. We went to a few houses after we dropped Ethan and Cassie off at their house. And then we went to go back trick-or-treating. And then we saw a house, and I went there, and this ghost was there, and he was rocking on his chair. And it was just a guy with a sheet on.
Oh, but you didn't know that at first, huh?
I didn't know it. And then he was rocking and rocking until he said, "Roar!" And then all of a sudden this lady opened the door, and then everybody said, "Trick or treat, trick or treat, trick or treat." And then the girl gave us some. And then Mommy wanted to go to a few more houses. And we did, then we went home.
Did you get a lot of goodies?
Yeah.
Well, let me see that basket. Where's your basket?
Right there.
Oh, boy. Oh, this is heavy. Oh, man. Oh, I'm really... You know what? Can I sneak a goodie or two later, maybe?
All right.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Pooh, for giving us the trick-or-treat report.
Well, honey?
Yes, dear?
I was going to tell you to check it before I eat it.
Oh, yeah, I got to do that. That's true. I do that every year. Thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome. Okay. Are you going to do it now?
Not right now. I got to finish this broadcast. 20 more minutes, then I'll check it for you. Okay?
All right. Maybe Mommy will check it.
Well, she can check some of it. Okay? The things that she knows how to check, and I'll check the rest. Okay?
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Just remember, don't touch anything that looks like it's already been opened.
All right.
Okay, baby?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See you later, alligator. Whoops. Uh-oh. Let me kill that mic there. We won't be making all that noise. Okay.
See you later.
See you later. Wow. Trick-or-treating in Eager, Arizona.
Cut the fat off the back of a baboon. Boil it down to a pound, get a spoon. To die for a fly, flying backwards. Take the jaws and the paws off a coon. Take your time, I ain't lying, for good cooking. But the rest of this mess ain't good looking. Take the fleas from the knees of a demon. Tell your pals and gals will come screaming. Put a feast, put a feast in the mouth now. They make wine with the fine air go down. Get the cat for the bat for who's face. And the feast put the feast in the mouth now. Brush your teeth with a piece of a goose toenail. After death, feel the breath of a drunken jail. Pull the fat off your friend with a razor blade. In tonight, change tomorrow, bring back yesterday. Take your hip, bite your lip, and shoot your mother-in-law. Put on your gorilla suit, drink some elbow soup, and have them all. Get it straight, don't be late, it's time for mad fun. He said, my mouth has begun. Ah! I'm a beast with the beast of my mouth. And they fight for the fire that goes out. The death for the best for who saves. And the beast with the beast of the mouth. At the feet with the beast in the mouth mouth. How they talk, man? They go like this. How about you? Come take them out, you stop
bleeding. Ah, good evening. You're on the air.
Here. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Are you still filming Big Fat?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
This is as fast as we can.
Yeah. Like a lot of us that haven't got them yet are just anxious to get them after being teased with being read a few chapters and stuff like that in the past.
Well, just hang on. You'll get them.
Okay.
The hardbacks aren't even here yet.
Okay, so we can still order those too, right?
Yeah, you can still order those.
All right.
Still have some of those left. Those are $65. They're hardcover. They're collector's edition. There's only 500 of them. Each one is numbered and autographed by both Michelle Moore and myself.
Oh, great. Oh, I enjoyed that music you were playing Monday night.
Monday night?
Yeah.
What was it? You remember?
Oh, a bunch of old music from the 50s.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, you mean after...
Yeah, after 12.
After 12, yeah. Yeah, I just felt like doing that. I don't know why.
Yeah, that was great, though.
It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it, too.
Yeah, I did, too. Thanks a lot.
I love that that old music. Yeah, all you folks out there that haven't got your books yet, we're sending them out as fast as we can. Most of them have gone out. There's just a few people who have not been sent their books yet, and we're working as hard as we can to get them out. You have to remember, there's just Annie and me and Pooh and Allison. That's it. That's it.
Well, yeah, were they sent out the order that they came in, or just out as it was?
No, we just send them out as we just fill orders as fast as we can. That's what we do. And plus, we do all the other things. We were gone for a week up in Michigan for the protest of the raising of the UN flag above the Michigan Capitol. I'm trying to learn PageMaker so I can resume the publication of Veritas, our newspaper.
Yeah.
Plus, I have to do the research and do the broadcast and run the network and all kinds of other things. And, it's just Annie and I that are doing this. And it is frustrating sometimes when people expect us to be superhuman or some kind of gods, and we're not.
Yeah.
We're doing the best we can, and that's all we can do.
It's amazing to get done what you get done, as much as you have to do.
Yes, it is. And every once in a while, we get somebody who shows up to help, and they never last long because...
it's too much.
Well, it's too much work, and besides that, they want to make a lot of money. And nobody makes money being a patriot.
No.
Not at all. In fact, you lose money. We already have, let me see, there's 27 plus another probably $35,000 tied up in the publication of this book, and I doubt that we'll get it back.
Well, thanks a lot. I'll get off and let somebody else call.
Okay, I hope we'll get it back. But
yeah, I hope you do, too.
And right now...
I ordered a couple of them.
Pardon?
I said I ordered a couple of them, and I'm looking forward to getting them.
Well, that's good. Now, all we got to do is get some distributors interested and get them into bookstores.
I've tried to wipe out most of my other reading I've let stack up, but I expect when I dive into that, it'll be keeping me up late at night till I finish it.
Yeah, people just don't understand what's going on here. We're not making money. We just barely live from month to month. And every penny that we get now is going toward the publication of the second volume, which is Oklahoma City, The Aftermath. Sort of blows your mind, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I wish some of you people out there, not you in particular, but people listening, would stop feeling sorry for themselves and do what we're doing. Just do something. Get off your butts and do something. Get a satellite system. Get a low-power FM transmitter. Publish a newspaper. Do something, anything. Just don't put it all on our shoulders or the other people's shoulders who are working. Jackie Petru, Anthony Hilder. Anthony Hilder has been a poor man since I've known him. He puts every single penny he can get, beg, borrow, steal, or earn into trying to wake up America. It's amazing, and what we hear mostly from people are bitches and gripes and complaints because we aren't doing it fast enough. Or,
oh, I've been enjoying Jackie's show, too.
Oh, yeah, she's great, isn't she?
Yeah, I like that.
Good. Well, okay, thanks.
Regional governance, sir.
Yeah, well, you'll hear a lot more from her. She knows a lot, and she's doing a lot of research, and she's like I am. She's documentation and sources, and that's what it's all about. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
520-333-4578 is the number. And for those of you waiting for your book, just be patient. When you get it, you're going to be so happy with it. Not that it has any good news or anything in it, but because it's going to tell you the truth. And it's a quality, well-researched, it's a classic. That's all I can tell you. It is a classic. And I think someday it will be recognized as such. You know, I want to talk a little bit about what we're doing here with this network. We took a big chance doing this. And it's not going to work unless people get involved. You see, shortwave is not long for this world. They're meeting right now, all the different shortwave representatives from different countries, and they're going to make it absolutely impossible for anyone to broadcast inside a country anything that is intended for listeners inside that same country. In other words, for shortwave broadcasters to broadcast to the United States, they'd have to go to a foreign country outside the United States and then broadcast back in. And you know that ain't going to happen. So I foresaw this. I saw it coming. I also didn't like the fact that WWCR had been lying to me for 4 years. And I wasn't about to pay them another penny. See, I'm a man of principle. I really live what I believe. And so people have been calling me and writing me saying, where are you? How come you're not on shortwave? You did the wrong thing. No, I did the right thing. I did the right thing. And I'm doing the right thing with this network. And let me tell you what my experience is. I ordered a transmitter, and my transmitter only broadcasts on 25 milliwatts of power. That's one quarter of the legal limit allowed, ladies and gentlemen. You're allowed 100 milliwatts of power. And we know where to get the best transmitters that don't drift on frequency, that stay within the legal limits. And if you want to get an amplifier and boost that up, that's up to you. And as long as you're broadcasting intrastate, there really isn't a damn thing anybody can say about it. But I'm only using 25 milliwatts of power. I have no antenna. Now listen to me carefully. I have no antenna whatsoever. Just this little telescopic thing that sticks up about 12 inches on the top of the transmitter. I have an antenna on order. But just the way it is, the way it came, I'm broadcasting right now, and I am broadcasting over a 2 mile radius from my transmitter. And that just about covers this entire valley. It covers the whole city of Eager, part of the city of Springerville. As soon as I have my antenna up, I'll cover this whole valley and part of the rural area outside of both cities, but I will cover the entire two cities of Springerville and Eager with only one quarter of the legal power of a low power FM transmitter. So, you know, depending upon where you're at and how high your antenna is, whether or not you're above where you're transmitting to, or you're down in a valley or whatever, your range is going to fluctuate. It's going to be different. But you can do it, and there's no excuse for you not to do it. None whatsoever. If we're going to broadcast the truth to the American people, we have to have people who are willing, who have satellite receivers, who are willing to purchase a low-power FM transmitter and become an affiliate network station of the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. We already have over 700 low-power FM stations. We need tens of thousands to blanket this country. And I think, ultimately, we're going to get them, but it's going to take some time. And you're going to have to overcome whatever obstacle is in your way that's preventing you from doing it right now, and only you know what that is. Nine times out of ten, it's laziness. It's the unwillingness to fork out the few dollars that it takes to do it, because you're depending on someone else to do it. Or it's just flat cowardice. Just flat out cowardice. You're afraid that somebody's going to come and pick on you because you did the right thing. Well, you're going to have to deal with that, folks. If you want to survive what's coming, if you want to help try to awaken enough people so that it doesn't have to happen, you're going to have to find your guts, you're going to have to find some money, and you're going to have to find some strength and get over your laziness. And you're going to have to do it. Just trust in God and just do it. That's how we live our lives around here. At my house. That's what it's all about. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, I have a question. Let me turn my radio down. I'm transmitting. I got a transmitter and put it together.
Uh-huh.
But I'm kind of in a valley, and I'm probably only getting about a half a mile. Are you or getting the antenna from the same outfit you got the...
Yes.
Okay, because they're on back order.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about maybe going to Radio Shack. They're supposed to have tunable ones.
If you can get one from Radio Shack, that's fine. My Radio Shack here, out in, you know, they only stock what they know people will buy. It's not like a big city. We're in a rural area, so they don't have those antennas here, although I could probably order them. But I've already got this one on order, and so I'm just going to wait for it to come. See, we've created quite a demand. It's on back order because of this network.
Yeah.
We have overloaded them with orders on radio transmitters and antennas and everything. This is going to work. It's going to take some time. What we're doing is a pioneering thing. Nobody's ever done this before, and it's going to work.
Let me tell who's ever listening that this is the first thing I've ever put together. I'm fairly good at soldering, but I put it together, soldered it, and it fired up right off the bat. So if anybody's thinking about building the kit, it's very good. They have little problems with the paperwork, but nothing that anybody can't figure out.
Yeah. Also, you know, you can increase your transmitting range by raising your antenna.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of trees around, but we're aiming for something where I could possibly...
The trees are not a problem. They really aren't. FM goes in a straight line, and trees will not block your signal. But you'll get farther the higher you can raise your antenna. I don't know what the legal limit is on the height of an antenna. 60 feet sticks in my mind. But if you really want to know, you need to look in the FCC regs or call Gary Bourgeois or somebody who knows about that.
Well, I'm not worried about that.
I'll try to find out about it Monday night, because I'm not to broadcast. This broadcast is not on the air tomorrow night. Friday Night Live is instead. Followed by Michael Cottingham and the quest for help. But Monday or Tuesday, I'll try to get that information and tell you exactly the height, the maximum height that you're allowed to put an antenna up above the ground.
Okay. Well, I have another question. You says 1 watt is legal.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, I thought you said that.
I said 100 milliwatts is legal.
Okay, because they had a thing in here that if you signed a paper saying that was going out of country, that you could boost this thing up to 1 watt.
You can. If you're broadcasting intrastate, which means inside your state, and your broadcast is not going over any borders or across any body of water where a ship or a vessel at sea can pick up your broadcast, you can use any power you want.
Yeah, well, Ram.
See, the FCC only has jurisdiction over interstate commerce.
Yeah.
They have no jurisdiction whatsoever intrastate.
Yeah. Well, we're going to fix up our own amp to hit the when we get the antenna, because this outfit that we got, the same one that you got, they said you had to sign a release saying it's going out of the country in order to get the 1 watt. And it was like about another $80.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people who go ahead and sign that. I don't like to do anything that's not the truth, and I don't. But some people do. The better thing to do, so you don't have to lie, is just get the transmitter, and then if you want to do a high power, get an amplifier. That's up to you.
But we have a chance of maybe hitting 5,000 people if we can rig it up correctly.
That's fantastic.
So, but anyway, one other question.
I got to let you go. I'm out of time.
Can we pre-order your other book, your new book? You're
going
to do on Oklahoma.
I'll talk about that on the early. I don't want to do it right now.
Okay, fine.
Okay?
God bless you.
Thank you. And that's it, folks. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you. Boy, I certainly didn't want to play that. I had a great Halloween thing. Here we go. Okay, good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. See you Monday night.
I was a teenage werewolf, the most terrifying picture of our time. I was a teenage werewolf, fantastic, bewildering, a motion picture to stand beside the greatest horror stories of all time. I was a teenage werewolf.
Mama said, something weird got feeling. I looked in his room, his bed wasn't slipping at all last night. But Papa said,
now Mama, don't you go talking silly. He's just a young boy, he's just throwing his wild oats, and that's all right.
But Mama said, no, something real strange about my Billy. Mama down the road said, he locked the two of the sheep last night. I know his eyes flesh and blood, but he makes my blood run chilly. I saw him from my window, he was on the hill just screaming at the moonlight.
Is it anyone to see the sun go down?
Bring along that silver dinner bell.
But Papa said,
Papa, baby,
don't kill him. Cause I just couldn't bear to think about my baby in hell.
But he went down to the back pit, got him out of bed and said,
you should fire hot. Oh, shut up, you shutters, and close down the door. We're gonna need all the heat you got. Cause I want you to melt my silver bell down to a single shot. I got a job to do, and I got to get it done before the sun comes up.
This is the Voice of Freedom.